Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Japan's greatest victory, Britain's worst defeat. Coming up, hopefully, probably episode 40. We've read Appendix 1, which is the fascinating, detailed propaganda story to the Japanese forces. So this is printed in the thousands, given to them. You could interpret the way that they behaved as acting out this pamphlet, but I think it's in general just a sample of the overall culture and training that they've had, and it gives you a lot of insights of the thinking that was authentically there. You can argue whether the Japanese actually read this or thought this. That is an argument, and then looking into it, you can actually say, we'll use it as a sort of guide to actually go back and poke around some of the Japanese legends, like the 47 samurai and the occupation of Thailand, to see how they were thinking, and to understand some of their excessive aggression. Well, it's not excessive aggression. Something, and also the really change in the Australian Army. So we fight at night in jungles and all that type of stuff now. I think everyone does. Okay. Appendix 2, the East Asia Federation Movement. And so this is by, and this appendix is by V.H. Howie. And this is also, by, so this is basically the, Australian person who's curated this. He's got his book and he said, look, we'll translate this Japanese leaflet. Allow you to read it. And this is something where he's written something down. In 1931, while commanding the division in Manchuria, Major General Kani Ishara promulgated the doctrines of Toa Remi Ondo, East Asia Federation Movement, of which he remained the de facto leader until his death in 1949. The basic principle of the movement was Asians should not fight Asians. It urged that in any future war, peoples of Asia should fight together, if they fought at all. It proposed the creation of Manchuria as an independent state, first state towards Asia Federation, the East Asia Federation of Japan, Manchuria, and China. And such other Asian nations wished to join the One Belt One Road thing. The objectives of the Federation were the promotion of mutual economic warfare, mutual support against aggression from any quarter, and the joint action to prevent the spread of communism. General Ishara was insistent that Japan should avoid war with China and urged all Japanese troops should be withdrawn from Asian mainland as soon as Chiang Kai-shek's government recognized the independence of Manchuria, which is now Korea, I suppose. In 39, Colonel Mansu Chushi was appointed the headquarters staff of the Japanese Expeditionary Force in China, located in Nanking. He was the supporter of General Ishara and strongly opposed the extension of military operations to China, which he believed would eventually lead Japan to destruction. On taking up his appointment, he quickly realized the intense hostility of the Chinese population to Japan, largely due to the indiscipline and misconduct of Japanese troops in China. He took drastic unpopular steps to restore discipline, going so far as to issue with the authority of the General Isaki, Chief of Staff of the Forces of China, a proclamation, Japanese troops operating in China were lowering the dignity of the Imperial Army. At the time, the Japanese-sponsored pro-Japanese political movements led by the Japanese ex-army officer and professional pro-Japanese Chinese regarded as traitors by their true fellow countrymen were endeavouring to secure Chinese support for Japan against the Chinese National Government. The most important of these organisations was the Tamminyu Great People's Society. Colonel Tsuji was sharply critical of such associations, saying Chinese people will never be impressed by any sort of thing. A popular movement dominated by mercenary motives is useless as a writing on water. If Japanese who carry out such movements are fools, then the Chinese who participate them are servile. I pay respects to the Chinese leader in Chongqing rather than to the Chinese professing a dubious pro-Japanese stand and standing behind in occupied territories. This is mind-bending. Colonel Suji disbanded the Tamsin Hu and ordered out of China all Japanese connected with the movement. In its place, he created a branch of the Teremi Undo, based on the free will of the Chinese people, and aided and abetted its growth in central southern China. Gee, this is mind-bending. General Tojo's government disapproved of the movement, placed General Ishara on the retired list, and relieved General Xu Zhu to the post of Nanking, and recalled him to Tokyo. And this is really interesting. So, this is so complex. So he was there, and Xu Zhu said, we've got to be actually true to the actual idea of expansion. Since the war, the influence of Teremi Undo movement has substantially increased in Japan, and Colonel Xu Zhu has risen to prominence in it. The movement no longer advocates any form of federation of Asian nations, but still urges their cooperation for mutual economic benefit. It adheres to the principle that Asians must never fight Asians, and rejects absolutely any suggestion that Japanese troops should ever be required to fight because of Japan's becoming involved in a quarrel between America and any other nation. It urges Asian nations to maintain absolute neutrality in the event of conflict between evolving American and European powers. This is interesting. And this is about to end this book. The British garrison in Malaya. The garrison in Malaya comprised of the 9th Indian Division, the 11th Indian Division, so that's two brigades, the 8th Australian Division, two brigades, the 18th British Division, three brigades, and a total of 13 brigades. So we were about, or you could say about 20%, a bit under 20% of the troops up there. The British Official History of the Campaign, War Against Japan, Volume 1, states on page 473, the total British casualty in Malaya was 130,708, more than most of them were prisoners of war. With the exception of a relatively small number who escaped or were evacuated, the figure represents the strength of the British and Commonwealth forces in Malaya. So they were actually taken. They're all taken. And, 8,000 died of those divisions. And, of that 130,000, 20,000 were Australians who fought at various points of time. Thanks a lot for listening. That's the end, finally coming to the end of this book. All the best, you podcast victims out there.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.